All right, let's dive into Exodus chapter 5 today.
Okay.
We're going to be looking specifically at this article.
All right.
Understanding Exodus chapter 5, a deep dive into the struggles of Moses and Pharaoh.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
It's really in this chapter where things start to heat up in this fight for freedom.
It really is. Exodus chapter 5 is like that turning point.
Yeah.
You know, where the hope of liberation just slams right into the brutal reality of oppression.
So to kind of set the scene here, we're talking about the Israelites enslaved in Egypt.
Right.
But it wasn't always this way.
Right. Generations ago, they actually settled in Egypt.
Okay.
Initially welcomed by Joseph, but now there's mm-hmm. this new Pharaoh, mm-hmm. and he sees this growing Israelite population mm-hmm. with a lot of suspicion and fear.
Yeah.
And this Pharaoh, who has conveniently forgotten all about Joseph's contributions,
right.
decides to enslave the Israelites.
Wow.
Forcing them to build cities and work in the fields under just brutal conditions.
It's almost as if he's trying to just erase their history.
Yeah.
So he can justify his actions.
It is.
It makes you think about how those in power throughout history have used these tactics
mm-hmm.
to control and oppress others.
Yeah.
But in the midst of all this despair,
yeah.
enters Moses.
What an entrance, right? A burning bush.
A burning bush.
Yeah. Not exactly your everyday encounter.
It makes you wonder how you would react to something like that.
Absolutely.
I mean, what would you do?
I don't know.
If you just saw a bush on fire?
I mean, I think I'd probably run the other way.
Yeah, probably.
But beyond the spectacle, it's a really powerful symbol of God's presence.
Okay.
And a sign that things are about to change.
So God chooses Moses to lead the Israelites out of bondage.
Right.
But I mean, was Moses like excited about this?
Well, you know, initially,
yeah.
he expresses doubts and fears, which I think makes him instantly relatable, you know? Even the greatest figures in history have those moments of uncertainty.
Sure.
But ultimately, he accepts his mission, returns to Egypt, armed with these signs from God to prove his authority to the elders.
Oh, yeah.
And that sparks this little flicker of hope among the Israelites.
The flicker of hope.
But as we'll see, the road to freedom is paved with a lot of challenges.
It's interesting, this initial glimmer of hope that kind of sets the stage for this dramatic confrontation.
Yeah.
So Moses and his brother Aaron march right into Pharaoh's throne room.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this bold demand, let my people go.
Such a powerful line.
But this is more than just a request for physical freedom.
Absolutely. This demand cuts to the core of Pharaoh's authority, challenging his absolute power.
Mm.
It's this direct assertion of God's sovereignty over an earthly ruler clash between divine will and worldly power.
Yeah.
It's like saying to the most powerful man in the world, you're not actually in charge here.
And what was Pharaoh's reaction to that?
Well, let's just say he didn't take it well.
Okay.
He laughs in their faces, questions who this Lord is that they speak of, and he arrogantly dismisses the whole idea that he should answer to anybody.
Wow.
Especially a God that he doesn't even recognize.
It's almost like you can feel that tension building up.
Oh, yeah.
As Pharaoh digs in his heels.
Yeah.
So instead of releasing the Israelites, Pharaoh decides to make their lives even harder.
Hmm.
I mean, what was he thinking?
It's such a classic power play designed to crush their spirits
mm-hmm.
and demonstrate his absolute control.
Wow.
He orders them to produce the same quota of bricks, but without providing them with any straw.
So cruel.
It's a double blow, punishing the Israelites
yeah.
and trying to discredit Moses at the same time.
It's like he's saying, this God of yours can't even help you with some straw.
Exactly.
It's just a cruel tactic. I mean, designed to make them question everything.
Yeah.
And it begins to work.
Yeah.
The article highlights the despair.
Right.
That grips the Israelites as they face this increased burden.
Yeah. You can just imagine backbreaking labor, the lack of resources.
It takes a toll.
It all takes a toll on them physically and emotionally.
This is where we start to see that psychological impact of oppression.
Right.
Which is something that still resonates today.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not just the physical hardship.
Right.
It's about the mental and emotional strain.
Yeah.
Of feeling powerless, trapped, and dehumanized.
Just imagine working harder than ever before.
Yeah.
Knowing that the goalposts have been deliberately moved.
Right.
Just to ensure your failure.
What's really powerful here is that the article doesn't shy away from showing how this oppression affects Moses, too.
That's right.
I mean, he has his own crisis of faith.
Yeah.
Crying out to God, why did you send me?
It's such a human moment.
Yeah.
It humanizes him, right?
It's
even the chosen leader
yeah.
facing this immense task. and the suffering of his people,
right,
he has doubts.
Yeah.
Makes his story all the more powerful and relatable.
So how does God respond to Moses' desperate plea?
Does he abandon Moses and the Israelites in their time of need?
Not at all.
Okay.
God's response is really crucial here.
Okay.
To understanding the deeper meaning of this whole story.
Right.
He doesn't back down. He doesn't waver in his promise.
Hmm.
Instead, he reaffirms his commitment to delivering the Israelites.
Wow.
He reminds Moses of the covenant.
Right.
This sacred agreement between God and his people.
Yeah.
This promise that binds them together through thick and thin.
Yeah.
It's like this reassuring voice saying, I haven't forgotten you. Mm. My plan is still in motion.
Powerful.
Yeah.
It's a powerful reminder that even when we feel lost and alone, that there's this greater force at work.
Yeah.
Guiding us towards our ultimate purpose.
It makes you think about how often we question our own paths.
Yeah.
When we face challenges, right?
For sure.
But maybe, just maybe, these challenges are all part of a larger plan that we can't fully grasp in the moment.
Right.
And this is just the beginning of the story.
Oh.
Okay. The stage is set for this epic showdown.
Okay.
Between Moses, armed with this divine authority.
Right.
And Pharaoh clinging to his earthly power. Yeah. It's this battle of wills, a clash of ideologies.
Okay.
And it's a testament to the enduring human spirit in the face of oppression.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens next.
Oh, yeah. You know, this clash between Moses and Pharaoh, it's not just some ancient power struggle.
Right.
It speaks to something much deeper.
Okay.
It speaks to this universal human experience, the fight for freedom.
Okay.
Against those who want to control and exploit others.
That's so true. It's like this story from thousands of years ago, still playing out in different forms all over the world today.
Exactly. The Israelites in Egypt.
Yeah.
Longing for freedom, facing this seemingly invincible power structure.
Right.
Doesn't that sound familiar?
It does. It makes you think about all the different ways that people have been marginalized,
right,
oppressed, denied their basic rights.
And what's fascinating is how Exodus chapter 5 highlights the tactics of oppression.
Okay.
It's not just brute force.
Right.
Pharaoh uses psychological manipulation.
Yeah.
He tries to break the Israelites' spirit.
Wow.
He increases their workload,
yeah,
denies them the resources they need,
yeah,
and just sets them up to fail.
Right.
All to reinforce this feeling of powerlessness.
That's like a calculated strategy.
Mm.
Make them believe that resistance is futile.
Exactly.
That they're better off just accepting their lot in life.
And this tactic, sadly,
yeah,
it's still very much in play today.
It is.
Think about systems that create these impossible expectations,
right,
but then deny people the means to achieve them.
Mm.
It's a way to keep people trapped in, yeah, this cycle of despair and dependence.
Oppression, it's not always about physical chains, is it?
It's not.
It can be about controlling people's minds.
Right.
Making them doubt their own worth and their abilities.
Absolutely.
And in the face of all this oppression, the Israelites, they show incredible resilience.
They do.
They keep going. They,
yeah,
keep working.
Yeah.
They find ways to support each other.
It's like this shared suffering.
Yeah.
It creates an even stronger bond between them.
Right.
This collective determination to survive and resist.
It really is inspiring.
It is.
Their resilience.
And this resilience,
yeah,
it's not just about enduring hardship.
Okay.
It's about refusing to be broken.
Mm.
It's about holding on to hope, yeah, even in the darkest of times.
Yeah.
I think that's such a powerful message for all of us.
It is.
Especially when we feel overwhelmed by the challenges we face.
It's like they're saying, you can try to break us, but we won't be defined by your oppression.
Yeah.
We will find a way to rise above it.
Makes you wonder, where do we see this same spirit of,
yeah,
resistance and resilience in the world today?
Well, I think we see it in all those individuals and communities that are fighting for justice and equality.
Yes.
Those who are refusing to be silenced or intimidated by those in power.
And it's not always about these grand gestures or sweeping revolutions either.
Right.
Sometimes the most powerful acts of resistance are those small, everyday acts of defiance. Speaking up against injustice. Challenging those discriminatory practices.
Right.
Simply refusing to be complicit,
yeah,
in systems that perpetuate harm.
It's so important to remember that even when we feel like our efforts are insignificant,
yeah,
like we're not making a difference.
Right.
Every act of resistance, no matter how small, it chips away at the foundation of oppression.
Absolutely.
Like planting seeds of change.
Yeah.
We may not see the results immediately.
Right.
But over time, those seeds can grow into something really powerful and transformative.
They can.
And this brings us back to this theme of faith.
Right.
Which is so central to this chapter.
It is.
Because even when facing these huge challenges,
yeah,
even when they're questioning everything, the Israelites, they cling to their faith in God.
They do.
Their belief that he will ultimately deliver them.
Exactly. Their faith isn't just this passive belief.
Right.
It's this active force that sustains them.
Okay.
Fuels their resistance, gives them the courage to keep going when all seems lost. And this raises an interesting question for all of us.
Yeah.
Regardless of our personal beliefs.
Wait.
What is it that we have faith in? What sustains us when we face our own personal struggles?
That is a thought-provoking question.
It is, right?
It makes you think about what gives you strength and hope. What keeps you going when you want to give up?
Right.
Is it faith in a higher power?
Could be.
Is it belief in yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the support of loved ones?
Yeah.
Or maybe a combination of all these things?
Whatever it may be. Yeah. That source of strength and hope,
right,
it's essential to our ability to resist and overcome those challenges.
Okay.
It's what allows us to tap into that wellspring of resilience that's within each of us.
And I think Exodus chapter 5 teaches us
that
resilience isn't something we're born with.
Right.
It's something that we cultivate, something that we build through facing adversity.
I love that.
It's like a muscle.
Yeah.
That gets stronger the more we use it.
I love that analogy.
It reminds me of that saying,
what
doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah, exactly.
And in a way, that's what we see with the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
They're being tested,
right,
pushed to their limits.
Yeah.
But in the process, they're discovering a strength and resilience,
right,
that they may not have even known they had.
It makes you wonder if that's part of the reason why they had to go through this period of suffering. Maybe it was necessary for them to develop that strength and resilience that they would need to ultimately reach the promised land.
It's like they're being forged in the fires of oppression, becoming stronger and more unified as a people.
That's a really insightful perspective.
It is.
It suggests that even the most difficult experiences can serve a purpose.
Yeah.
They can be opportunities for growth and transformation.
It makes you wonder what Pharaoh's role in all this is.
Right. What is he doing?
It's like he's unknowingly playing a part in God's plan.
I know.
By trying to break the Israelites.
Right.
He's actually making them stronger.
Yeah.
More determined to achieve their freedom.
It's almost ironic, isn't it?
It is.
It makes you think about the nature of power dynamics.
Okay.
And how they often backfire on those who wield power unjustly.
Right.
The harder Pharaoh tries to control the Israelites, the more he pushes them toward their ultimate destiny.
And this chapter also raises some important questions.
It does.
About our own responses to injustice.
Right.
Do we passively accept it? Do we resist?
Yeah.
And if so, how?
Those are questions each of us has to answer for ourselves.
Right.
But I think Exodus chapter 5 provides some valuable insights.
Okay.
It reminds us that resistance doesn't always have to be this grand or heroic thing.
Okay.
It can be as simple as refusing to be complicit in these systems of oppression.
Right.
Speaking up for what's right.
Yeah.
Supporting those who are marginalized.
Right.
And just holding on to hope even in the darkest of times.
And it reminds us that even when we feel powerless, our actions, no matter how small, they can contribute to a larger movement for change.
Absolutely. It's like that butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Even the smallest flap of a butterfly's wings can ultimately cause a hurricane on the other side of the world.
Wow.
Our actions, however insignificant they might seem, can have ripple effects that we may never fully comprehend.
It's a reminder that we all have a role to play.
We do.
In creating a more just and equitable world.
Absolutely.
And that our collective efforts, fueled by our faith, our hope, and our resilience, can ultimately bring about lasting change.
It can. I have to say, this deep dive into Exodus chapter 5, it's been really insightful.
It has.
It's amazing how a story thousands of years ago,
I know,
can still speak to us so powerfully today.
I agree. It's a testament to the enduring power of storytelling.
Yeah.
And the timeless wisdom contained within these ancient texts.
So we've been talking about resistance and resilience.
Yeah.
We even touched on faith in the face of oppression.
Right.
But now I want to dive a little deeper into this idea of faith as it plays out in Exodus chapter 5.
Right.
We left off with Moses in a pretty dark place.
Yeah.
Questioning his mission.
Right.
Wondering if God had abandoned him and the Israelites.
It's a moment I think a lot of people can relate to.
Yeah.
You know, just feeling lost and uncertain.
Yeah, for sure.
And it makes what happens next even more powerful.
Okay.
God doesn't scold Moses for doubting.
Right.
He doesn't dismiss his feelings.
Okay.
Instead, he reaffirms his promise to deliver the Israelites.
Wow.
He reminds Moses of the covenant.
Right.
That sacred agreement between God and his people.
It's like a parent reassuring a child.
Exactly.
I'm here. I haven't forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me.
It's interesting how this idea of a covenant plays such a central role in the Exodus story.
It is.
For our listeners who might not be as familiar with it.
Yeah. Could you unpack that a bit more?
Sure. The covenant's essentially a sacred promise.
Okay.
This bond between God and his people.
Right.
It's not a one-way street either.
Okay.
It involves both obligations and blessings.
Mm-hmm.
God promises to protect and guide his people.
Right.
And in turn, they're expected to follow his laws and remain faithful.
So it's a two-way street.
Exactly.
A relationship built on mutual trust and commitment.
Exactly. And in this moment of crisis,
yeah,
when Moses is feeling lost, God reminds him of this covenant.
Okay.
Reminds him he's not alone in this struggle.
It makes you think about how important it is.
Yeah.
To have something to hold on to during those tough times.
Yeah.
Something that gives you strength and hope.
Right.
When you just feel like giving up.
And for the Israelites, that something was their faith in God.
Hmm.
Even when they couldn't see a way forward,
well,
even when they were suffering, questioning everything, they held on to this belief that God would ultimately deliver them.
And it's interesting how their faith isn't just some passive belief.
It's not.
It actually fuels their resistance.
Exactly.
It gives them the strength to keep going, to keep working.
Right.
To keep hoping.
Even in the face of such brutal oppression.
It's almost as if their faith is a source of power.
It is.
This wellspring of resilience that they can tap into.
You got
when they need it the most.
And it's not just about resisting Pharaoh.
Right.
It's about resisting despair itself.
Yeah.
Refusing to let their spirits be broken.
It makes you wonder if that's part of the reason why they had to go through all this suffering.
Yeah.
Maybe it was necessary to develop this unwavering faith.
Right.
The kind of faith that could move mountains.
It could.
The kind of faith that could lead them out of bondage and into freedom.
That's a really thought-provoking idea.
It is.
It suggests that even suffering can have a purpose.
Okay.
That it can be a crucible in which faith is forged and refined.
It's like they're being tested, pushed to their absolute limits.
Right.
But in the process,
yeah,
discovering this depth of faith, they may not have known they possessed.
And it's important to note that this idea of faith being tested isn't limited to religious contexts.
Right.
We all face challenges in life.
Yeah.
Moments where our beliefs,
right,
our values, our very sense of self are put to the test.
It's true.
And it's in those moments that we discover what we're really made of.
So even if you don't subscribe to a particular religion,
right,
this idea of having faith in something, whether it's yourself,
your community, a cause you believe in.
It could be.
Simply the inherent goodness of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a source of immense strength and resilience.
Absolutely. It's about finding that inner compass.
Okay.
That guiding principle that helps you navigate through the storms of life.
Yeah.
And it's about remembering that even in the darkest of times,
right,
even when it feels like all hope is lost,
yeah,
there's still a flicker of light within us,
mm-hmm,
a spark of hope that can never be extinguished.
It's a powerful message.
It is.
And one that I think resonates with people.
It does.
From all walks of life.
Absolutely.
Whether you call it faith, hope,
mm-hmm,
or simply the indomitable human spirit.
Right.
It's that something,
yeah,
that keeps us going when the going gets tough.
And as we wrap up our deep dive into Exodus chapter 5,
yeah,
I think that's the most important takeaway.
All right.
This chapter isn't just about an ancient story,
right,
of oppression and liberation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a timeless reflection on the nature of faith, resilience,
and the enduring power of the human spirit,
right,
to overcome even the most daunting challenges.
Well, thank you for joining us on this journey.
Absolutely.
For diving deep with us into this rich and complex world.
It's been fun.
Of Exodus chapter 5.
It has.
We hope this exploration has sparked some new insights, and perhaps even challenged you to think about your own sources of strength and hope.
Right.
In the face of adversity.
Until next time.
Yeah.
Keep exploring. Keep questioning.
Yeah.
And keep the faith.